There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
It is no secret that my top manifesting hack is my daily use of subliminal audios. I mean, mostly because I'm lazy and I get to manifest in my sleep. What a goddamn dream. Who wouldn't love it? Subliminal messaging has been around for years. The Guardian published an article back in 2007 stating that scientists have found that subliminal messages leave a mark on the brain, and that's why everyone from Apple to Coca-Cola have infamously used it in their advertising campaigns. Subliminal stimuli are any sensory stimuli below a person's threshold for conscious perception, i.e., you think you're just listening to a relaxing piece of music, but boom, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of powerful statements and affirmations beneath the music that you can't hear with your conscious brain. These affirmations can have distinct impacts on people's thoughts and behavior. Choose from a range including perfect health, wealth and success, beauty and confidence, fertility, weight loss, meet your soulmate, peaceful and present parent, happy kids, and so much more. Easily download onto your phone or live stream when exercising, cooking dinner, in the bath, or my personal favorite, as you go to sleep as part of your daily mindset practice. Go to francescaamber.com to get yours. Hey, just a quick message to let you know that this episode was pre-recorded and using Zoom, and you'll know that technology is not my strong point. So the audio sounds a little bit glitchy to begin with. And once again, I could not edit it, so I'm glad that it was a good one-take wonder. But 2022 is going to see me up-level my tech skills, okay? I promise you. I hope you enjoy the episode. Bye. Hello and welcome back to Law of Attraction Change My Life. Today I have a guest. He is a podcaster, mentor, a simplicity coach, which I fucking love, and he's an author with his debut book, Discovery of Less, How I Found Everything I Wanted Underneath Everything I Owned. It is, of course, Chris Lovett. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing? All right?
I'm good, thank you. Well, we were just saying before we started recording this, I feel so, so busy. And then I felt like I can't say that to you because you're like the anti-busy person. You're like the simplicity coach. And then I was like, this is perfect. This is why we need to talk.
Yeah. This is the law of attraction, right? We were supposed to meet and talk about this stuff. Everyone says that to me. They've been like, I don't really want to tell you how busy I am because like you're the Mr. Anti-busy. I'm really not. Don't worry. I'm just a normal guy. I get busy too.
I've never heard of a simplicity coach. I love that. What a nice like name.
No, it's all right. I made it up.
I can tell and I'm here for it.
I know. It's just one of those things. It's just a bit like, you know, you can have your life coach, you can have your sports coach and that stuff, but they are all generally focused on what more can I do to achieve the things I want to achieve? And there's not really many people going, what less can I do to achieve the things I want to achieve? And so that's just the angle that I come at it with.
I find a lot of people are busy doing a lot of the wrong things. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're not doing the right things. And that's what I find with the law of attraction, especially as, like, I'm a single mother with three very young children. And so a lot of my listeners are the same. And they're like, I wish I had time. I wish I had time to do what you do. I wish I had time to read a book a month. I wish I had time to write my gratitude list in the morning. I'm like, bitch, you've got fucking time, okay? You have got time. You're just spending your time on the wrong things. And people that have the audacity to say to me they don't have the time when they've got no children, all they have is a cat. And I'm like, no, you don't get to say that to me, okay? So that's why I think decluttering goes quite well with the law of attraction, because you're basically getting rid of all the shit you don't need so that you can fill your life with what you do need, right? So tell me where this started for you. How did this journey start?
I think maybe 2016-2017 is when I kind of realized that my life was just full. So basically what you were saying there, Fran, is like every day was full. I was always busy, working ridiculous hours, and my home was just like a storage box, because I just bought a load of shit that I didn't need over decades. So everything, you know, all my music collection and films, clothes was the worst thing. It was just my home, my place of calm was adding to the continued stress, because it was just always full and my life was just full. And so all these aspirations that I had, like I wanted to go traveling or wanted to learn guitar or wanted to do all these other bits and pieces, I never had time to do. And I was always in debt, you know, didn't have any money, didn't have any time, but I had all loads of stuff. And one day I thought, well, what can I do to actually try and take an active part in my life rather than just be pulled along and drift, you know, and just let life take over, really? And part of that was just to walk away from my job and sell off pretty much everything that I ever owned. And it then allowed me to do the thing that I wanted to do, which was go traveling and go on adventures and do different bits and pieces. And only then did I realize I fluked it, right? It was a fucking fluke, right? I wouldn't watch anything. I didn't listen to any TED talk and then take action. It was the other way around. I, you know, stumbled across that I had to get rid of some stuff to earn some money to pay for a fucking flight to Copenhagen. And once I realized I didn't miss the stuff that I just sold, I was like, well, what else do I not need? That I've been clinging on to for so long.
It's addictive, isn't it?
Oh, it's unreal.
Once you start selling it, you're like, what can I sell? My mother.
Yeah, exactly, right? You start to get all the short-term rewards, like money, space in the home, and you kind of, oh, what can I fill that void with? And your initial default is, well, I can buy newer things or I can bring other things in, but actually that whole space gives you your time back to think. You can be more creative, you can spend better time with the people you want to spend that time with and do other things. And so that's basically what happened, you know, 2017, you know, got on the old Music Magpie app and started selling off all the stuff. And then since then it's just been a roller coaster of adventures and amazing experiences and a book as well, ironically.
Yeah. What a time to be alive. So Discovery of Less, in this book it says that you had a defining moment when you were stuck in traffic where you just decided that's it. And what was that? Because I didn't read that far, I'll admit.
No, most people don't.
It actually,
like, that's it. That'll do.
No, do you know what? I was looking through this research just before, but I think I did say to you when you sent it to me, like, I do a book club, so I read a book a month, and for someone with two babies, a book a month is already my top upper limit. But if we do this in our book club one month, which people love it, you'll sell 2,000 copies straight off the bat. We sell off out Amazon sometimes. Like, sometimes if we do a book, you can't buy it on Amazon for like 2-3 weeks. I'm just saying.
That's nice. I did a book club the other night, actually. And it was, I think it was about 3 hours long. It was intense. It was great.
Oh, like a traditional old fashioned book club where you get up and have wine and
So I did a bit of a reading and answered loads of questions on it and stuff, and basically just did like a whole almost like a behind the scenes thing, like, why on earth did I write the book in the first place? Because I, you know, here's a, you know, a quick fact is that I failed English when I was at school, right? So part of that mental clutter was the old stories I was telling myself that I couldn't do certain things, right? And so, you know, went to college, thought, I'll do media and I'll do English and I'll be able to write and I'll be able to be a journalist. And I failed because you're like 17, 18. You're not supposed to, you know, you don't really know what you're doing then. But so forever, I just assumed that I was a bit crap at writing until I started writing again. And, you know, realised that that had been one of the stories that I was telling myself for so many years. I couldn't do certain things. And going back to your question about, you know, sitting in that bit of traffic, is that sometimes, you know, sometimes life forces you to stop, you know, to get off the treadmill. And yeah, it was just a really weird moment when I'd just gone for a hike in Sedona, and I'm in this traffic jam and I'm looking at all this like beautiful scenery and I'm like, oh god, this is a big cliche. And it literally, I've just turned down the radio and I just had nothing, no negative thoughts. I didn't have anything to do that evening. There wasn't like a to-do list that was going through my head all the time. It was just me in the car, stopped with just all this scenery. And I'm like, right, okay, I can, this is what stopping feels like. And it's calming and it's relaxing. And I was like, why don't more people just stop? Why don't more people do this and stop? And it took me a traffic jam and years to realize that actually, if you stop, you're able to kind of just take in the present a little bit more in terms of that. So stuck in traffic, there's nothing else you can do other than stop. You know what I mean?
Another thing that I think is very similar to that, that has forced a lot of us to stop, is this goddamn pandemic. Has forced so many people. And in fact, that was one of my notes that I wrote down, was before the pandemic, I feel like my life was so complicated, but I loved it, but it was very stressful. And it all was very carefully hinged on different things. So I would spend like 3 days a week in London. I had an apartment in London, but I'd Airbnb it. So I'd have to like wash all the sheets and then I'd have to get cleaners come in and do it. Then I had a salon in London. So I'd have to go and work like 14-hour days in the salon. Then I'd have to get the train back up to Lincolnshire, where I live with my daughter. And people would be like, I can't believe you travel down and do that every week. And it's like, it's fine. I fucking love it. I love it. But if a train was late or if an Airbnb messed up, it would literally, everything would be thrown off. So it was a very like finely balanced, but quite a busy, like there's a lot moving parts. Then of course the pandemic hit and everything stopped, everything. And then I was just stuck in this little house up here. And I just thought, what on earth am I going to do? And then I found out I was pregnant with twins. And I thought, the lifestyle I have now, traveling up, down, on the train, doing Airbnb, how the hell do I do this with three children?
Yeah.
It's going to be impossible. And had a little bit of a breakdown. But you know what? Having that stop of the pandemic, of just everything, almost like a reset button, almost like switch it off, switch it back on again. Now I'm in one spot for now and my flat is rented out long term. Yep. I actually have no real desire to go back at the moment. I didn't sell my salon. I gifted it to someone reluctantly, got rid of my salon, which I never thought I'd do. And now I'm just in one spot in this beautiful village and I podcast from home. And I would never, ever, 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 ever have done that if it hadn't been for the pandemic essentially forcing me. It would never have happened. And I struggled along with that busy life. So basically, people probably need to find their break, don't they? Whether it's finding themselves pregnant with quadruplets or a pandemic. Can we have another pandemic just for the benefits? Or something like that, isn't it? Like, you just need something to just reset you.
And that's it. I think that the key word is reset. And you know, sometimes it happens to us. We don't have a choice, like the last 18 months, 2 years, whatever. But I've got this feeling now that I don't think we have to wait for something else to tell us to stop. We've now got an opportunity to be more present and stop ourselves. Because I wrote a book about, like, sometimes we have these big traumas or these big events happen, you know, whether it's like a loss of a family member or, you know, we go through health issues or, you know, something big happens and then we reach a bit of a crossroads and then we make a change, you know, we stop smoking or, you know, whatever it is. And it's interesting because that never really happened to me. But it was lots of tiny little things that were starting to build up and build up. And it's what I like to call, like, it's like the Basil Fawlty effect. So remember in 40 Towers, like within that half hour episode, loads of little things just started to go wrong. And the further you went into that episode, the further Basil lost his mind and like grabbed a tree branch and smashed the shit out of a car. And so and it's almost like those little things start to happen. And if you're a bit more, if you're aware, self-aware and intentional, and you can see these things happening and like, okay, well, I need to wrestle back control and, you know, stop doing this or let go of that or do more of this and yeah, just and reset. So yeah, sometimes it happens to us, but I think we've got a really good opportunity now to take back control and hit reset when we want to.
Well, yeah, like you say, you just did it. You decided one day to sell everything you own and take a sabbatical and go traveling with your, is it your girlfriend or your wife?
Yeah, girlfriend.
Your girlfriend.
Yeah.
Hayley.
Nice.
And so was that, I have read part of the book, thank you. I'm a professional. So how was that whole experience? How did it change your life? Because, I mean, travel, it just, and it's so, such a fucking cliche, but it does just broaden you, doesn't it, so much. It just makes you realise, like, this is the fucking world. Like, this is it. What can I do? So what did that do for your life? When you came back, how did you change your life from that?
Yeah, it was almost a bit like, someone had dialed me up from standard definition to high definition. It's a bit like living in my little bubble in South London, you know, with the same industry, same job, sitting in the same office, in the same seat, with the same computer, doing the same things. All the time, it kept me in that kind of little safe zone. And it's comfy, right? The comfort zone's like, we'd love to hang out in the comfort zone. Oh man, you just put your feet up, chill out, but nothing grows there. And so, I literally just yoinked myself out of that into different cultures across the world and, you know, realized that, you know, these little scary moments, I could actually achieve so much more if I stepped out and did different things. And all these kind of, you know, going traveling and quitting a job and starting something else would never have entered my mind because, you know, Why'd you quit something you were successful at? You know, you wouldn't necessarily do that. And it was a bit disruptive. And after I came back, I was a bit like, well, I can take on the world. I can achieve anything that I want. And that kind of level of confidence is different. And I always remember a mate of mine who I was out drinking with last night, actually. He didn't come up with the poignant statement last night, but he did the other day. The other year when I started writing a book, and he was like, when you come back from traveling, everything will be different. He goes, but when you come home, you'll see nothing. You would have changed. Everything else will be the same. So you'll come back, your house will be the same, your parents will be the same, but your view of the world will be completely different and it will change.
Right.
And so I came back with this completely, really disruptive mindset going, right, I'm going to fucking break things. I'm going to, this doing more malarkey doesn't work for a lot of people anymore. It's all about doing less. And so I started my own business. I wrote a book and, you know, became a speaker and did all of these things that I'd never imagined that I would do. And it was only because I decluttered, let go of all this stuff, went through this strange experience and then globetrotted for a bit and come back. So literally hit reset and started again. And basically redesigned my whole life the way I wanted it to be, not the way that it had happened, you know, because that we fall into a job that just generally pays for our nights out and then we stay there and then that becomes a career and then all of these things happen to us and I was like, well, I don't want that anymore. I want to make it happen myself. And so
architect of your own life.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, because you're right, these things do just happen, don't they? And it's like the same way that you think if you're born in this country, you're most likely to be a Christian. If you were born in Saudi Arabia, you'd be a Muslim. Like, that's just something that's happened to you. That's not a conscious decision you've made. And I mean, I'm from Essex, where when you get to 18, the majority of people, you just get on that fucking Church Street line and you go into London and you work in some shitty office and you just do an office job. Like, that's, and that's, that wasn't a conscious decision I made. That was just, that's just what we all did. And it's like, how many people go through their lives? I know I did for a long time, just being like, oh, well, this is how it is. And even, it's so bizarre, but not making conscious decisions of this is what I want to do and this is what I want to achieve with my life. And I think so many people, it's scary. Like, they don't, They don't even think about it. I mean, obviously not anyone listening to this podcast because they are woke bitches, but a lot of people. And don't you find that actually there's sometimes a bit of a disconnect between family and friends? Like, because how do you find them? Because I certainly find the more that I go on a self-development journey and the more that I enter this space, the harder I find it to deal with family and friends that are still back in the other place.
Yes.
Give us some advice on how you deal with those fuckers.
Oh, God.
Please, because I need it.
I suppose, love them from a distance, I suppose. There's, you know, my folks didn't understand that leaving the job you're good at and selling off everything you own was a good decision. They thought I'd lost my mind. You know,
mental breakdown.
Traditionally you'd think, well, something's wrong. And so for them it was strange, but for me it was freeing, because it was basically all of this stuff had created this identity that I had latched myself onto. And I was like, I live in South London, I do this, this is who I am. But actually, that, like we were saying earlier, it wasn't my design, it was just stuff that had happened. So I've slowly got my parents into kind of recognizing that the stuff inside their home, if it doesn't enhance your experience of life in any way or isn't useful, why have you got it? Like, and it's just the question. It's just that question, you know, not forcing anybody to change. But I suppose when you go on your own journey, I suppose you can't really expect people to go on the journey with you. You have to do that bit yourself. But the good thing is you will find other people who are also on their separate journeys, and you'll meet up with these random people and you'll create a new little bubble of other like-minded people. But you'll still have your old friends, your family, who are on their own path, but you'll just love them from a distance, metaphorically or physically. So I have a group of friends who are not interested in Chris Lovett, the author. They're not interested in minimalism or decluttering, but they love me for me. So I've got that group of friends. And then I've got these other group of friends who are growth mindset, you know, always learning. And I hang out with them at different times. So it's almost like I've got different pockets for different things, you know, different social settings and things like that. But yeah, I think if other people are not on your journey, that's okay. But learn to love from afar, I think.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Hi, this is Ross, the host of Smells Like Humans. Each week we talk about the curious things that people do. Fans say it's like hanging out with your funny friends. If you like lighthearted conversation, personal stories, and a hint of psychology, chances are we are discussing something relevant to you. Like relationships, dreams, phobias, weddings, work, cults, 100 topics and counting. Sometimes silly, sometimes serious, but always fun. Please join us, because no matter who you are, we all smell like humans. Please click the link in the show notes.
Do you know what? That is the exact advice that I heard in the book that we've just finished reading. Is called Abundance Now by Lisa Nichols. Have you heard of her?
I've not, she's, but like, clearly I need to check that out.
Yeah, she's amazing. And she was saying about how people are all on their own journey. And just because that you are this far along, like, you sometimes get frustrated with people. Actually, you've got to just either bring them along with you and try and inspire them, or just like... yeah, just be like, okay, well, I guess.
Well, that's it, Frank. I mean, so being a coach, right? What I learned is that you can give all the advice you want, but unless that individual does it themselves on their own terms, a bit of their own ideas and things like that, they're never going to copy you. So, you know, I've had certain little situations in my personal life at the moment where the old Chris would have gone, why don't you just do this way? You know, why don't you do this?
That's me.
But there was a time in Facebook, they just launched a load of things how I see stuff.
Right.
And then sometimes it doesn't land. And sometimes they have to go on their own journey. It takes longer. for those people.
That's true, because sometimes as well you need to hear something a couple of times from different people, don't you? Like, I feel like I've heard the same advice from a couple of people and it didn't apply to me back then, and then when I hear it again I'm like, oh okay, I get it now. But it is very frustrating, I feel like, especially with the law of attraction, because that is very specifically just living your best fucking life and just, you know, amplifying life. That I sometimes do look at people that, around me, that have no interest in it, will openly say that they don't believe in it. My dad, fun. And I just think, surely can you not see the glow up that my life has had? Can you not see the results? And that's what I love most about this work that we do, is that it's not immediate, but over time it becomes really apparent. Like, and I think for my mum, certainly, because they don't understand what a bloody podcast is. Like, they don't, they can't see it, they can't touch it.
The same with my
parents. They don't know. But I realized for my parents, it's like the money. When the money starts to come, that's when they realize, like, oh, so you are successful at this thing. This is a real thing. And yet, still don't take my goddamn advice. So I find it very, very frustrating. And I must admit, especially with my dad, when he sits there moaning about the 100th thing that day, I just sort of go, oh, yeah, terrible. I just think, no, you're not ready to listen to the answers.
And some people will never be ready. And again, that kind of goes back to, you know, love people from afar, because, you know, there's only so much you can do. But I'm totally with you, Fran. I'm totally with you. I think the generation that sometimes that we've, like, our parents have been brought up in, is that their view of success was material. So it was, how big's your house, car, job, money. And, you know, especially for me, when you start to let go of that stuff, you then, in their eyes, you then become unsuccessful, because you don't have those, the material of, you know, success, or maybe the westernized culture that we've been brought up in and things like that. And so money might not necessarily now be the biggest metric of success. Exactly.
Say time and freedom is? Time and 100%. Freedom?
Oh, collection of experiences and, all of that stuff. Like, because, you know, I saw a cartoon the other day about going to someone's funeral, right? And whenever you go to a funeral, they always tell you stories about the individual, you know, wonderful things they did, places they went, you know, impact they had on friends and family. They never go, oh, you had a great watch, we had a nice pair of shoes, or anything like that. So you can't take the shit with you. But it's just that generation that they've been brought up in, and sometimes that's the blocker. You know, sometimes the changing of the guard as such is a difficult and long change. Some people will change really quickly, and other people are just starting their journey. So
sorry, I just noticed out the corner of my eye, my daughter's standing there with her ass fully out. What are you doing? Scratching your bum. Have you read the book? Have you read the book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad? That reminds me.
I've not read that one yet, but I have heard
you've got to. You've got to. It's actually quite boring, but one of the things that I remember from it, it really is. I've never made it.
Give it a Blinkist version, like the 5 minutes.
So basically, the thing that I do remember from it is it says that as you earn more money in your life, as you get up to that next pay packet, that next promotion, you have all these visions of, like, oh, I'm going to start having a bit more free time, or I'm not going to be as stressed because money won't be as tight. But actually, all people do is they get bigger liabilities. So a bigger house, a more expensive car, and then you're still in the same situation. And so it never really matters how much money you earn. You're always in that same mindset of only having just that amount of money, which is so wild that people never seem to recognize that that happens to them. Like, when you get a pay rise, you think, what am I going to do with this extra £400 a month? Maybe I'll save, maybe I'll do this. It just fucking it just goes into the
disappears,
it's absorbed, and you're in the same situation unless you consciously make the decision to change, which is just also, we've just done a book called Get Rich Like a Bitch by Denise Duffield Thomas. Have you heard of her? I'm sorry, I feel like do you know this person? Do you know this person? Feel free to say no to all of them.
It's like Fran's library. Like, you borrowed this one? Borrowed it with this one.
Do you know what? You've got to read. Late fees. It is It is aimed at women, but it's all about the energetic set points of money and about how we can just decide how much we want to earn. And we did it, and I doubled my income in a month. And it was just she said, it's just, you get used to whatever amount you have. You always end up with the same amount in your bank account at the end of each month, no matter how much you earn. And you'll never go above a certain amount. And I was like, do you know what? You're right. And then when you consciously make the decision, it's like, anyway, my mind was blown. The question I want to ask you is, I'm going to stop throwing authors at you now. How do you think decluttering, not just your possessions, but your life? Bohemia, please stop playing with the cat. Quiet, please. I'm going to declutter a child in a minute. Anyone want one?
New one on me.
How do you think decluttering, not just your possessions, but your life, your time, your friendships, your response? I mean, one thing I have to declutter is business ideas. The amount of times I get a business idea and I have to be like, Fran, do not make an Instagram page for it. Do not make a logo. Just stop. Stop right now. This is the
stop buying the domain names. You've got about 50 domain names.
Stop collecting domain names. Yeah. And I have to really declutter that because it ain't good for me. But how do you think, it might seem obvious, but like that is going to help people to reach their goals and reach their potential by just getting rid of all this stuff around us?
Yeah, it's really important because, you know, like you said, it's our default is the material possessions around us because we see it all the time. You know, we're surrounded by books, DVDs, spare cables, tools, all of that stuff. But ideas, apps, all the stuff on our phones, emails, all that stuff. Yeah. We can all do a little bit of a spring clean with all of that. And it really makes you stop and question how important the actual thing is that you're looking at, holding the ideas you've got in your head. So I did this test with a coaching client of mine recently who is very similar to you, Fran. It's like loads of ideas, very creative, wants to, you know, change the world, wants to help everybody. And I was like, right, write down the top 10 things that are going on for you right now. And so she wrote them all down. And I went, now cross out 9 of them. And she went, what? I was like, cross out 9 of those things. And she went, oh, well, they're all really important. I'm like, let's cross out 9 of those things. And so over time, maybe that took about 10, 15 minutes, she went through and crossed out 9 of those things. I was like, right, what is left? And she told me what it was. And I was like, right, sort that bit out first. The rest can go. And then once you've done that one thing.
Deferred or deleted? Just deferred.
I've got a meeting with her tomorrow. We'll find out.
Okay.
So yeah, and then, you know, the next thing was bring back the remaining 9 things and cross 8 off.
Focus on one.
One and get it done. And you know, you'll realise that if you've picked the right one, you know, you'll be in a flow state, you'll get it done and it'll really connect with who you're trying to be, what you're trying to do, etc. If you've started doing it and really not feeling it, you know, you realise that you've made the wrong choice and you can choose again and things like that. So yeah, decluttering ideas and decluttering, especially for creatives, is really quite important because unless you start doing something, that's all they are, is just ideas. You know, you don't want to be known for having great ideas, but then not following through with any of it. And so, you know, so even like, I had the same thing, friends, like writing this book. I'd started writing a few articles and I was like, oh, it's, you know, there's probably something here. And I kept procrastinating about it. I was like, I could write a book one day. And my friends would say, oh yeah, you should. And I was like, no, I'm not that guy. I'm not that guy to be an author. Like, who am I? I've failed English. I'm just a random working class bloke from South London. Like, I'm not an author. And then the more people kept saying to me, oh, you should do it. I was like, okay, yeah, I should. And then focus on doing that and got it done. And so that's now done. And I can then move on to the next thing and have this kind of suite of, you know, offerings and services that hopefully add value to people's lives and not clutter up their lives because they're all experiences. But it's really important to kind of stay a bit laser focused. I know sometimes it's difficult because of everything we're bombarded with. Life, social media, Netflix, you know, all of this stuff is really quite tempting. But yeah, if we're really into the thing that we want to be achieving, then we'll go and get it done.
Yes, definitely. And also picking something that is going to make a tangible difference to your life. I remember one book we read, by Jack Canfield.
Also, there's a theme here.
Do you know what? I've been doing a book club for a year and it has changed my life.
Oh,
just
brilliant.
Something as simple as reading 12 self-development books a year. I feel like I've spent a year in India with a Buddhist monk teaching me about his life. It's the most insane thing. But no, what was I going to say? In The Power of Focus, they're saying that quite often we're like, right, today I'm going to do this. Whereas actually you need to look at the task. What is the one task that is actually going to propel you forward? And quite often ignore that to do like the easy thing. And I feel like at the moment I'm creating my first course, and you better believe I was scrubbing my microwave door. I was scrubbing my microwave door to avoid starting doing I was literally color coding my books. I was doing anything to avoid starting it. Why do we do it to ourselves? It's self-sabotage.
It's funny because I've not got a microwave, thank God, because I don't have to scrub that.
I'm trying. But, is that a health choice?
Yeah, it's just another thing in the kitchen.
Me
I don't
too.
Need.
It's bad for you. I do not let my children stand anywhere near it.
Oh, really?
For the radiation.
Radiation. I've heard of this, but I've not read a book on it. You probably have.
I have.
It was just another thing in the kitchen that took up space. You know, I don't have the biggest of homes, and so the space I do have, I want to use it for the most important items. And so having a huge fucking microwave in my kitchen, it weren't going to work for me. So that's a life choice.
Can I have a challenge with you? Can I challenge you to a duel? Because I'm not one to brag, but I'm going to brag. How many square feet do you live in? You and Hayley, right? Do you live together?
Yeah.
How many square feet?
Oh, I don't know. I'm rubbish at measurements. It's a two. I'm going to have to look at Rightmove and see what the
two bedroom. Feet. Are you about to say two bedroom?
Yeah, two bedrooms. Yeah, we've got two bedrooms, one bathroom, one living room, and a kitchen. Yeah. And,
I'm sorry, that is very, very excessive.
I know, right? Outrageous. Why are you not living in a tiny home?
Well, do you know what? I'm going to send you a YouTube link, and I'm actually going to put it in the show notes below as well. Me and Bohemia lived in 500 square feet, one bedroom apartment in London for a year and a half.
Nice.
And we used to Airbnb it every other weekend. So we had to have all our stuff like away invisible. And I was so proud of my minimalism that I actually made an entire YouTube video just to brag and be like, guys, I live with a toddler and look, this is my house. And it was like, I was so proud of it. And I tell you, when we lived in London, we had so much leisure time because I was never tidying up. I was never cleaning. Yeah. I had a cleaner once a week. There was nothing clean. It was one big room. Like it was incredible. Yeah. And now there's three of them and we live in a house with a garden and bedrooms. I'm telling you, I'm basically an unpaid cleaner. So I'm going to send you that link because I'm very proud.
Oh, yes, please. Oh no. You should be, mate. So you should be, but yeah, I mean, the space that we live in, it's our space of calm. And so, you know, in the house that we're renting at the moment, I've lived in seven places this year. I tried out the digital nomad thing, which was super fun. So, yeah, lived in Devon for a few months, lived in Cornwall for a little bit, Peak District.
Oh, what a dream. No.
It was lovely. Yeah, it was lovely. It was great.
Are you still doing that now?
We're renting, so we don't own a place, but I'm renting a place in Sussex now so for the next kind of 6 to 12 months we'll be here, but then after that who knows. So again, lots of experience and living in different places and things like that, so all adds to the growth and things like that. But yeah, the home life is important because we spend most of our time there, especially now. And it's probably the most expensive thing we're ever going to own. And a lot of people just fill it full of junk. And it's really, really sad. And in the 80s, there was a comedian called George Carlin. He's dead now, bless him. And he said that houses were just like boxes filled with stuff with a lid on. And when we just, whenever we moved house, we just moved our stuff to the next box. It was an even bigger box, and we just bought more stuff in to fill it up. And we moved house again.
That's depressing.
And then we bought all our stuff into the bigger box with a bigger lid. That was kind of really interesting to me. I was like, yeah, we just drag all of our useless shit around with us for all of our lives. And then when we die, our family have to deal with it. And it's no coincidence now, Fran, that you've seen loads of TV programs all of a sudden start to come up on this topic. So you've seen Sort Your Life Out on BBC One, prime
time. Stacey Solomon Stole Your Job.
Stacey Solomon, yeah. You've got, you know, all these types of antique hunter type shows where, you know, we've got Antiques Roadshow. People are taking their old crap. How much is it worth? And then when they go, it's worth 50 grand. And like, what do you want to do with it? Oh, well, I'm going to keep it for seven.
Great.
My fuck's sake. I mean, just use the cash, go on holiday. And so there's, you know, all of the, you know, Tiny House Nation is another one. You know, lots of cleaning.
Oh, would you like
shows.
To live in a tiny house? Is that a goal of yours, to live in a tiny house?
I have a little bit. Yeah, I have for a little
Ooh.
Bit. But the thing is, it's like when, so I've got a dog as well and a partner. So that way of living suits me. But when you've got other people as well, who that might not necessarily be for them, you have to
get rid of both of them. Chuck them out.
How
Come on, minimalism.
Yeah, how minimalism. Declutter people.
Do you know what? I'm just thinking, I think that you should contact BBC and say, because I do like that Sort Your Life Out. But one thing I will say is that they have an organizer. They have Stacey Solomon and they have that guy that is a carpenter.
Yeah.
But hoarding is a mental condition, and the problem is you see Stacey Solomon put all these fucking labels on things, and she puts all that will be back to a shithole in a month. And actually they don't have someone there working on the mindset at all. So I think you should put yourself forward. And my mentor is Paul C. Brunson, you know, the Married at First Sight guy. And he said that you have to ask for meet and greets with TV production companies. So you should find out the production company that show and say, you are missing a vital element of hoarding here and you're really oversimplifying it. Why am I giving you life advice now? I'm not a life coach.
Well, Fran,
but I do think you should
guess
do that.
What I did. Guess what I did last week?
Don't tell me.
Well,
exactly what I just said.
Yeah. So I know who the production company is and I know that they are looking.
We are so in sync.
I know, right? So they're looking for families to take part in season 2, right? So I've already reached out to them and I've said, you know, this is a wonderful show, right? And it has the potential to be even better if you actually work on some of the mindset stuff, because yes, the practical bit is the very, very first step. Letting go of that stuff will give you those short-term wins of space, money, you know, calm. You know, you see how happy these couples are after they've got rid of, you know, 60-70% of their shit. But exactly what you said, in 6 to 12 months, it's, you know, something else is going to fill that void and it might be more stuff. So underneath all of the stuff that I've written in the book, there has to be a reason. You know, why do you want to have less? Why do you want to live and declutter your stuff? Unless people connect with that reason, they will fill that void with other things. It might be bad habits. It might be addiction. It might be rebuying more stuff, just newer. So all of these other things, there must
Bloody
be a why.
Hell.
So
you get rid of your shoe collection and you take up a crack habit. Jesus, this is terrifying.
I know. Okay. It would be a new habit instead. You know, the new thing would be in. But yeah, so for me, my why, almost like the carrot that was dangling, was that I want to have adventures. I want to go traveling. And the thing is, I can't take 20 pairs of Converse with me on travel, going traveling. I can't take my 3 TVs in a 2-bed flat. And so if I get rid of this stuff, I can achieve this. And people, if you know, so there must be something underneath that for people to achieve. And if it is calm, space, time, that's great. But you know, make sure that is explicit and overt when they do these shows. But it's a great show. But yeah, like you're saying, we can take it to the next level.
You'd be brilliant on there. I'm going to tweet them and say, actually, I haven't got Twitter, but I honestly, I can see it in your future. I feel like you're going to do that. Okay, so I don't know how long we'll be going, but it's definitely more than half an hour, which is my usual episode length. And my child is still awake, which is not a good sign. She'll be devil tomorrow. But your book is called...
I take full responsibility for that.
It is actually your fault. She wanted to stir up and see who you were.
That's fair enough.
Your book is called Discovery of Less, How I Found Everything I Wanted Underneath Everything I Owned. And I have read, I'd say, 20% of it. And I am fully, I'm going to suggest this as a book club book in the future, because my book club bitches, they do love decluttering, and it is a vital part of manifesting the life that you want. Where can we find you? What is your Instagram? What's your website? How can we hire you as a simplicity coach? Tell us.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yeah. Lessisprogress.com is my website. And you can find me on Instagram, just Chris Love It, really. Just look for the guy with the big hair. Not very minimalist hair, all facial hair.
Get rid of it.
Yeah, I know, exactly, yeah.
That's always my answer, get rid of it.
Get rid of it, exactly, let it go. Yeah, and the book is, you know, available wherever you would buy books. So all the good online bookstores and some average ones too. But yeah, My use of social media has changed, because I was all like constantly scrolling and then getting pissed off that I was scrolling and, you know, time would disappear. So I use Instagram.
We all know that feeling.
So I'm on Instagram, but I only put on stuff that I think will add value to people. So I don't, you know, clog up my own timeline with stuff. So I'm on there. Check me out, and it'd be lovely to connect with people. Also LinkedIn, right? I started to use LinkedIn quite a bit recently.
LinkedIn? What year are we in?
I know,
it's 1992.
Right?
What's happening?
I know, right? It's really strange, because you know, some of the people that inspire me, including yourself, I go on there and I'm like, how can I learn more from these people? Because different platforms offer different things, and you know, so I like to try and learn as much as I can to help other people. So yeah, I'm on there as well.
Okay.
Find me and let's connect. It'd be lovely to meet.
Brilliant. All right then. Well, thank you for being on. I'll leave your links down below as well, and you can find him on Instagram. You can hire him as a simplicity coach. You can buy his book. You can do what you goddamn like. I'll see you next week. The Law of Attraction has changed my life. It's going to change yours too. Bye. What up, bitches? It's no secret that reading has changed my goddamn life. I think it's incredible that people put their entire life's work, their teachings, into a book that often costs less than £10. It's incredible to me. And I am so thankful to all of the authors that have helped me on my self-development journey. And, you know, I have the UK's biggest self-development book club. There's over 3,000 of us reading along each month. But maybe you're thinking, Fran, I ain't got time to read. Who do you think I am? Barbara Cartland? No, you are busy. You are girl bossing it. You are living your goddamn life. And I get that. I see that. I hear it and I value it. And that's where Audible can come in. If you find yourself only with the time to be able to listen to something, but to not sit and physically hold a book, maybe you have a physical job like cleaning or whatever, where you are using your hands, or maybe you're a crafter and you want to be able to just listen to something and to learn on the go, or maybe you're driving a lot and you're able to listen to a book, but you know, it's illegal to read a book and drive, bitches, don't try it, then Audible may be for you. I have a 30-day free trial that you can have a little go at and see if it's for you. You can download millions of books to your phone or to your laptop or whatever you fucking want and listen to it wherever you are. So check it out. I'll leave the link down below.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.